Going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says Chotmo. When it comes to his nose, Shnikev, that had a hole in it, was perforated, Shnifgam, that had some sort of piece missing from it, or an Isdach that cracked, Sfamo, also his lip, his upper lip, Shnigva, that was perforated, punctured, Shnifgima, that somehow was blemished, was missing a piece, Shnistaka, was slit or split. These are all mumim by a bechur. Tan Rabbanan. Nikvu chotmim ze letoch ze mi bachutz, hari ze mum. If the puncture happens from the outer side of the nose, then that is a mum. Mi bifnim. If the puncture happens in the divider between the two nostrils, ain't a mum. Then it's not a mum. Svato shnikva shivinik gema vinistaka amra papa. Torah bara de sifte. We're not talking about the entirety of the upper lip. We're talking about the outer edge of the lip. Not the whole width of the lip, but the outer edge of the lip. That's where mum would have to be in order to be problematic. The next Mishnah, this Mishnah should be familiar to us. It was quoted on Daf Lamed Zayin, and then also earlier on Daf Lamed Hey. So we bumped into it twice. We saw that there are two interpretations of the Mishnah. There's the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashi, which is Chutim Achitzonot, talking about the incisors. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom learns it. Rashi learns it, it's talking about the outer gums, not the teeth themselves. Shiniv Gimu v'shiniv Mimu. Either were broken or leveled off, flattened out. Hapnimim. Now either we're talking about, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the molars, back teeth, or according to Rashi, the back gums, Shinekru, that were removed entirely, that were uprooted. Those are mumim. Bichanina ben Tigvinus Omer, inbukt kim min. Now, we have in our Gemara's Tiyomet, if you look in Rashi and the other Gersot, they all seem to be hamatimot. In a matimot, vilifnim, vafalo et hamatimot. From the matimot, matimot here, or Tiyomet being the twins, teeth that are double, which obviously refers to the molars, those molars are meaningless. And the molars themselves, beginning from the molars and going back, that's all meaningless. We don't check over there. That has no relevance in terms of mumim. Tanravanan. Hamatimot. Ezehu matimot. Mina matimot vilifnim. Which are the matimot from the molars back? Vilmatimot atzma lifnim. And that point where you start from the molars, right after the incisors, the canines, from behind those teeth, that already is considered kilifnim. Shua ben. Now here it says kaputzai. You can see that the note of the sheet of Mekubetze, because we just had Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai on Daf Lamed Zayin, there was spelled with a samach. So it was Kapusai, so they changed it over here to accord with the version that we saw earlier, which is Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai, Mer in shochatim el alachitzonot bilvad. We only do shchita on the outer teeth or the outer gums by themselves. Chanina ben Tagino Sumer, im mashkichim al matimot kolikar. We don't deal with the molars whatsoever. Gemara wants to know, my Kamar. Number one, what's going on in this Braita? What's he saying? What's the relevance of everything that's being said here? But two, Rabbi Shua ben Kapusai, Hainu Tanakama. He's saying the same thing as the Tanakama, which is at the front teeth and not the back teeth. Gemara says, Chasurei Mechsura, it's obvious that this Braita is missing some conjunctive words or some extra words that would help us understand it. V'halchakten, this is what it means. Ezeu papnimit. What are the inner teeth, or the inner gums? Min hamatimot v'lifnim. That's from the molars back. Umatimot atzmak v'lifnim. And the molars themselves are like the back. V'meret v'ar mamurim. What are we talking about? Shinifgimu v'shinigmimu. That's only if you have a gam, and they were broken, or worn down, or leveled off. Aval nekeru shochatin. But if they were uprooted entirely, then they're shochatim. That's like the Tanakam of our Mishnah now. Now the Tanakam of the Braita is the same as the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which is, it has to be significant enough in order to be a mum when we're talking about the molars. Just to be broken molars, just to have worn or leveled off molars, that's not enough. They need to be nekru. They have to be actually uprooted. They have to be taken out entirely in order to be a mum. Or according to Rashi, we're talking about the, or speaking about the gums here. Shua ben Kapusai Omer, in shochatim el alachitzonot. We only shech the bechor based on the outer teeth, meaning the incisors. Aval pnimiyot shenekru mishkat alayo lo shechtinan. When it comes to the molars, we do not shech the bechor on the molars. Aval psule mifsal. It's still poselet mi al gabi mizbech. This is something we've discussed a couple of times, that there are actually three possibilities of what the mum can do. One possibility is the mum is meaningless. It's a mum over, and therefore it can go on the mizbech. There's a possibility that the mum is good enough to be poselet mi al gabi mizbech. It's no longer a tamim, so therefore it can't be placed on a mizbeach. But on the other hand, the mum is not significant enough for you to do shechita on it, that it's a called a bechor bal mum. And then there's a third mum, which is significant enough that you can even do shechita on it, meaning that it is a considered or classified as a bechor bal mum. So over here, Tanakhama says, the molars, if they're in that crew, if they're uprooted entirely, that's a mum that's significant enough, that's called a bechor bal mum, and you can shecht based on that. The other hand, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai says, no, that it's not good enough to shecht on it, it's not called a bechor bal mum, but it is good enough to remove its shame tamim from it. No longer be placed on the mizbeach, but it can't be eaten as a bechor bal mum. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus omer, in mashkirim al matimod kolikar, that the molars are irrelevant, afilu ipsule lo ifsil. You can still put it on the mizbeach. It's still considered a tamim. It's not even good enough considered to be posulit from being a tamim or going on the mizbeach. So that'll be the three opinions in the Baraita. Again, our Mishnah, the Tanakhama, and the Mishnah and Tanakhama of the Baraita will be similar. And then Rabbi Chanina ben Tugvinus, obviously, we'll have to match his positions here and say that Rabbi Chanina ben Tugvinus means the molars are irrelevant. And we have this in-between opinion, which is Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai, says they're relevant enough to make it not tamim, but not relevant enough to make it a bechor bal mum. Bayu of Achodvai bar Ami, yesh mechusa ever mi bifnim, or ain mechusa ever mi bifnim. This question posed by Rabbi Achodvai basically going to occupy us until almost the end of today's daf, which is, can you have mechusa ever lacking a limb be internal? We know that mechusa ever mi bechutz is posel mi agab mizbeach, it's considered a bal mum, even for things like ofot, which don't have mumim. Mechusar Eber is significant enough that it is a mum. Question is, does the din of mum have to be visible? When you're Mechusar Eber, does it have to be visible? Or even if it's not visible to the naked eyes, Mechusar Eber enough? Lamai, somebody wants to know, what's the nafkamina here? Ila Bechor, if you're talking about a Bechor, Piseach o Iver Ptiv. By Bechor, we know it says in Dvarim Tedvav, Piseach o Iver, and we learn from that it has to be a mum she bigalui. It has to be a visible mum. Ila Kodoshim, if we're talking about Psulia Mukdoshim, it says, Averet Oshavur, Tiv. Again, the same limud, that has to be something that is a visible mum. Here we're talking about blindness, broken legs. Lishchute ulifruke loi bailan. In terms of shechting the animal, or redeeming the animal, we know that this mum is not significant enough. Kimi bailan lifsule. Here what we're worried about is it enough to remove the shame tamim from it? So it's not significant enough in terms of being defined as a mum that makes it into a bechor bal mum, or that will make it into psula mukdashim that you can redeem it. Question is it come into that in-between status where it ruins it from being a tamim for the mizbeach? My tamim yelaretzon kol mum lo yebo, it says in the pasuk. Ma mum mevrai, just like the requirement for mum or to be defined as a bal mum has to be something visible. Af kisaron mevrai, maybe too, the tamim is defined because of the juxtaposition of the two, the fact that they're connected in the pasuk, that the definition of tamim will also have that same qualification, that it has to be something that's visible, something that's on the outside. Tashma. Let's look at this. Vech deaklayot has to be the two kidneys. Velo bal kulya achat. And not someone that has one kidney. Velo bal shalosh kulyot. And not somebody that has three kidneys. Vitani idach. And we have another bright that says, yesirena, that you have to remove the fats and the kidneys. Lerabot bal kulya achat. Sounds like from there that it includes even a single kidney. So now you have a machloket in Braitot, whether having one kidney is considered a mum or not considered a mum. So here we're talking about an internal organ that is missing. This internal organ is missing. Does that disqualify it from Al Mizbeach or not disqualify it from Al Mizbeach? To your question, they shechted it, they open up and they see there's only one kidney, maybe it's not ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach anymore. So v'rua de kuliyama ein birya ba'achat. Now, first of all, the Gemara is making an assumption here. You know, if the Gemara makes the assumption, that the Gemara can always reverse that later, and that's what they'll do. But the assumption so far is that everybody believes that an animal cannot be born with one kidney. The fact that it has one kidney now means that it lost it somewhere along the way. Da michser chaser. Must be that it's missing it. Salem of Ahaka Miflege. Let's say this is the machloka between the Braitot. The Marsavar Chisaron Bifnim Shmei Chisaron. The first Braitot thinks that if you're missing an Aver internally, that is a Chisaron. Therefore, it's Pasul Me'al Gabi Mizbeach. Marsavar, the second Braitot that says that a single kidney is fine, is Chisaron Bifnim Lo Shmei Chisaron. Thinks that an internal missing organ is not significant enough. So, of course, what does the Gemara do now? No. Amar Avachayya Bar Yosef the Kulayama Yesh Biriya Achat. What? You made the assumption that you cannot have animals born with a single kidney. I'll tell you that's not true. The kuliyama yesh biri b'achat. Everybody agrees that you can have an animal born congenitally with one kidney. V'chisaron bifnim, shmei chisaron. And an internal missing organ is considered to be missing. Velokasha. Kan, kishinivra abishtaim bechasro. The question is, it was born with two and then lost one. Kan, kishinivra bachat, when it was congenitally born with one kidney, mikara. And therefore, there's no question over here. His solution is to say, yes, you can have congenitally one kidney. Number two is, if you're missing a kidney, that is a chisron. That's only if you weren't born with it. You have to lose it later. Good question. How do you know? Rashi says that the difference, if it's born congenitally without a kidney, there would be no tubing or anything that places out in that direction, versus if you have a, should have had a second kidney, was there and it fell off, that there'd be markings or scarring of something that was there and then fell off. Based on that, there are no machlokot between the Braita now anymore. It's just they're talking about different circumstances. One's talking about a congenitally born animal that has one kidney. That's fine. That's the second Braita. The first Braita, which says it's a problem. He had two and then he lost one. And that would be problematic. The Gemara says it can't read it that way. The first Braita says that the animal has one kidney or three kidneys. Now, everybody agrees that the third kidney didn't grow later. That has to be congenital, that you have a third kidney. You don't just pop on an extra kidney later on in life. So that has to be congenital. So the Gemara says, Mashalosh mi'ikara, just like three kidneys has to be congenital, afachad mi'ikara. So too, when we're talking about the one in the first Braita, it must be congenital. And you're explaining the first Braita as being something that happened after the fact. Ella, hocha beyesh birya mi'ikara kamiflege. They're arguing in the original assumption of the Gemara, which is what I said. The Gemara made an assumption, so now you know in the end they're going to come back to it, which is, can you have an animal born congenitally with one kidney? That's the machloket in the Braitot. Mar Savar Yesh Birya Bahat. One of them thinks that you can have a creation. I mean, the second Braitot says that you can have such a creation, congenitally born animal, and therefore there's no chisaron here. Whereas the first Braita, Masavra, ain't birya bachat. You can never have it be born with a single kidney. Therefore, if we're looking at a single kidney, then it means that he lost a kidney along the way. And there is Kisaron. Has to be congenital. And here the... Your question is a good question. So that's what Rashi says. His Rebbe asked this question and was bothered by this question. And Rashi says, it doesn't bother me. You know why? Because if we're explaining that there is such a thing as a birya ba'achat, there is such a congenital item, then you could say, or you could demand, that there be a parallel between three and one. You could say that if I believe that you can have an animal born with a single kidney, and my braita says that one kidney and three kidneys, they'd have to match up. But if I believe in birya ba'achat, if I believe that there is no such creation as an animal with a single kidney, I can't demand that the two be equal. So one will be different than two, and three will be different than two, but three will be congenital, one will be something that happened after the fact. So the answer to your question is, you're right, and that was raised. Rashi says, this is Mori raised this question, but I don't think it's a question. It's only a question when you have that possibility of one being congenital, then I'm going to force you to make the three and the one parallel. But if I can't have congenitally one, because the Braita believes it's impossible, then you can't make a demand that the three and one be equal, because he just doesn't have a case like that. That case doesn't exist. According to this reading now, everybody agrees that Chisaron b'fnei shmei Chisaron, it's just a question of, can you have such an animal that's born with a single kidney that is congenital? Or is that impossible, and therefore it must be that he lost the kidney later on? Everybody holds that you can't have congenitally a single kidney. The question doesn't revolve around yes, no about the actual biology here, but rather about when it happened. So everybody agrees you can't be born with one kidney. So it has to be that it lost the kidney along the way. Question of, when did it lose the kidney? Everybody agrees that chisaron b'fnei shmei chisaron. When did he lose the kidney? Did he lose it before shkita or after shkita? Before shkita would be problematic. After shkita would not be problematic. Mar says, u'lachach shkita kodem kabbalah mishari. Happening after shkita enough, but before kabbalah, is that really enough? V'amar Rabbi Zeira Marav, take us back to Zvachim a little bit. Atzorem uzin apar, v'achakach kibel demo pasul. That if the mum happens in the animal between the shkita and the Kabbalat Adam, or the Zvikat Adam, it's problematic. Shenemar, v'likach midam hapar. Because it says you must take from the dam hapar, hapar shayakvar. The par is heya yidia, hapar. Why is it heya yidia? It means the par that you had at the time of shkita must be the same par that you're dealing with right now. Ella, kan shechisra, kodem Kabbalah, kan shechisra lachar Kabbalah, no problem. We'll just switch the timing. Question is whether he lost the kidney before Kabbalat Adam or after Kabbalat Adam. Lachar Kabbalah, kodem zrika mishari. Is just getting after Kabbalat Adam sufficient? What about Zrikat Adam? Vatanya, we have a brighter Sit Tamim Zachar Ben Shanaiyeh Lachem. So there has to be a Sit Tamim, a Zachar, a male, Ben Shana, in the first year. Just talking about the Korban of Pesach. This is the qualification for the Korban of Pesach. It has to be within its first year of life. It has to be a male. Shie Tamim Ben Shana B'Shat Shkita. It has to be a Tamim and Ben Shana at the time of Shkita. Minayin B'Kabbalah V'Holachava Zayah. How do you know what the rest of the other three Avodot that are significant, that it also has to be that? Tamalomar Shieh. Yes, yeah, kol havayotav tam uven shana. Its whole existence, everything that's done to it, must still have a status of tam. It must be within its first year. I says no problem. Targuma ben shana. Say that bright is talking about the first year of life. The demand for all four of avodot to have the same characteristic is talking about that all of those of avodot must be done when it's in its first year of life. But as far as mumim are concerned, that's not true. That'll be limited to Kabbalat Adam. After Kabbalat Adam, then we don't worry about it. It says, Hakanam Mistab, that makes a lot of sense. That you must be Tamim through the Avodot of Shkita and Kabbalah, you must be a Tamim. You must have everything that you had at the time of Shkita must be true at Kabbalah. After Kabbalah, we stop worrying about it. If something goes missing after Kabbalat Adam and you do Zrikat Adam with already something missing, it's okay. So now what we're explaining is that the Braita that says that by all four Avodot it must have the same status, that's talking about being younger than 1 year. That's where we have the demand that all four Avodot be the same. Where we have the demand only that it remain Tamim is for Shkita and Kabbalah, but after that, we do not have a demand that it be Tamim. The Gemara says that's Mistavro. B'Tanya, we have a bright, Rabbi Shomer, Kol HaZvachim Shebetorah, Shenishtar Mehem, Gezayit Basar, Gezayit Chelev, Zorekat Adam. As long as you have Gezayit Basar, Gezayit Chelev left, as long as there's an Achila left, meaning Achilat Adam or Achilat Mizbeach left, you could do Zrikat Adam. So you see here that you don't have a demand for Tamim at the time of Zrika. So that makes sense. Shmamina, that the only demand that we're making here for Tamim is by Shechita and Kabbalah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan's statement will be, the difference between the two brightot is when it became a chiz chaser. When did it lose this kidney? Did it lose the kidney prior to Kabbalat Adam, or did it lose the kidney after Kabbalat Adam? If it loses it after Kabbalat Adam, we have no problem. That'll be the second brightot. If it loses it before Kabbalat Adam, we will have an issue. Even though it's after Shkita, it will be problematic because we have a din or we have a demand for Tamim even through the point of Kabbalah. And that'll be the first brayta that says when it has one kidney, it's problematic. Again, everybody holds that there is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no animal born with a single kidney. So we definitely have a chaser here and everybody agrees that chisaron is a problem. Just question of the timing of when this chisaron happened. Okay, now the Gemara is going to ask a basic question. This time had a Korban Pesach here. How did it get older than 1 year old between the time of Shkita and the time that it ended up on the Mizbeach? It's on the same day. It all happens on Erev Pesach. It happens on a single day. You do Shkita, Kabbalat Adam, Zrikat Adam. Everything happens on Erev Pesach. How did it age? Gemara here says something interesting. Umi ika mida devishah Shkita avi ben shana. Is there such a possibility that Shkita is 1 year old? Shad Kabbalah v'olacha avi ben shnaim sheshanim. It turned two in between the time of the Shkita and the Kabbalat Adam and the Olachat Adam. How do you have such a case? Amar Rava, listen to this. Zot omeret, shod poslot b'kodashim. That not only do we count from, like we, as human beings, when we count day to day, meaning that if your birthday is a given day, say it's Chafei Kislev, then when you next year on Chafei Kislev, you're a year older. We don't check what time on Chafei Kislev that you were born. Rava says, that's not true, by Kodashim. By Kodashim, not only did we check what day you were born, we want to know what hour you were born. The animal ages based on the hours of the day, not just on the day itself. So it'll have to be 354 24-hour periods. That's how we'll determine it's 1 year old, not the 354 days period. So leave here, it'll be more, it'll be 384. Technically, from that bright, we have no conclusion about it, about which way you could go. We have multiple explanations of how to explain the machloket between the brightot, and therefore we don't have a definitive way to say that internal chisaron, shmei chisaron, alo shmei chisaron, because we gave you all different possibilities of explaining the different brightot, and therefore it's not mukhrach which way we're going. And we had a number of opinions that said chisaron, shmei chisaron, but we also had other possibilities to explain it the other way. And therefore, it's not definitive. We have no conclusion from that. So now the Gemara is going to make another try at this. V'lemakit tonight. Say there's a machloket tonight about this, which is ma'och v'katut v'natuk v'karut. So that is talking about mumim in an animal. Now these mumim are the male genital area. Ma'och is something where the testicles are bruised or slightly crushed. Katot means that they are crushed entirely. Natok means that they're completely severed. Rashi always mentions with natok that it is done biyad, it's done by hand. And bikarot has to be that it was severed, but not severed entirely. Although Rashi again mentions it's done by kli, sakin. I'm not so sure as the significance of biyad and kli as much as the significance of whether it's still attached or not attached, whether they still somewhat attached. Kulan bebeitzim. Tiferi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's all, these mumim are referencing testicles. Gemara says bebeitzim velo begid. This is true of the testicles, but not of the member. Gemara says ema af bebeitzim, tiferi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that all these mumim, these four mumim, are equally applicable to the testicles as they are to the member. Lezer ben Yaakov omer, kulan begid. Lezer ben Yaakov is diametrically opposite, which is that all of these mumim apply only to the male member. Yosi Omer, Ma'och v'katot, the first two, af v'beitzim. First two apply both to the member as well as to the testicles. Tok v'karot begid. And v'karot are only referencing the member, begidin, beitzim lol. But by the testicles, no. Myla, v'haka miflige. Let's suggest that this is their machloket. The marzav v'chisaron bifnim, shmei chisaron. That the machloka between them, and let's at least address Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda says it equally applies to the members as well as it does to the beitzim. So he's going to say that a chisaron bifnim, shmei chisaron. And therefore, even though it's not visible to you, nevertheless, it is still considered a chisaron. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer believes that a chisaron bifnim, lo shmei chisaron. So therefore, it only applies to the gid, it only applies to the male member, something that's visible to you. But anything that's to do with internal, within the sac, the testicles were in the sac, that's not visible, so that's not mumim. So this will be their machloket. Rabbi Lezer says, it's dealing with the male member, because it has to be a visible mum. And Rabbi Yehuda says it even applies to the testicles, because he believes an internal mum is a mum. So let's say that's the machlokas. Mar says, v'tisbro, he left out one of the opinions. What are you going to do with Rabbi Yossi? Where is Micah Savar? Ika Savar Chisaron Bifnim Shmei Chisaron. If he believes an eternal Chisaron is a Chisaron, Afilu Natuk V'Karot, Dami. Then he should say everything applies to the testicles. V'Ika Savar Lo Shmei Chisaron. If he believes it's not considered a Chisaron internally, Afilu Ma'och V'Katot, Nami Lo. So those also should not be considered Mumim. He's almost straddling the two sides, and he's saying that some are, some are not. Halacha, the Mumim Shigalui Mekam Miflegei. They're arguing about whether the mulim have to be, and what does visibility mean? So Rabbi Yehuda sabar ma'och v'katot avi muma dimikavsan. Yehuda says that even ma'och v'katot, where they're crushed, they're bruised or crushed, the testicles, it's considered a muma because the sac will constrict and be smaller, so it'll be visible. Even though the testicles themselves are not visible, the effects of them is visible because it'll constrict. Natok v'karot avi muma da'atalyan. You can see the fact that the testicles have dropped in the sac. They're all the way at the bottom. They're hanging low on the bottom because they're not attached anymore. V'lezer ben Yaakov savar ma'och v'katut la'vi muma. When it comes to ma'och v'katut, demikara nami zimnin mikavtson. Sometimes the animal is born already with a constricted sac, and that's not evidence of the fact that the testicles are crushed. Tok v'karot la'vi muma demikara nami zimnin italian. Sometimes it can be born with the testicles hanging very low, and therefore, it's not evidence of the fact that they're detached. He says, if you can't see it, you don't know. And therefore, it's not considered a mum, because they can be born that way, and it can't happen after the fact. Rabbi Yossi Savar, so he has it in between. Ma'och v'katot, when it comes to the crushed testicles, have a muma. Da'litnu, that doesn't happen, something's gone wrong here. Unless the testicles are crushed, that's not experienced. Natok v'karot, la'vi muma, but on the case of the testicles hanging low in the sac, that's not considered mum da'itnahu. That can't happen. I mean, that can be congenital. That can be an animal with that, even though they're not detached. So again, we're left with an inconclusive situation because we originally thought that the Braita was discussing our issue, whether chisaron bifnim, shmei chisaron or not. We might rejected that and went back to say, no, we're talking about mumim shibgalui. The original thing, that the original thought of our question about Rebbe Chavudvai is, when you need mumim shibgalui, there, the Gemara says, it's not a question, because everybody agrees you need to have visible mumim in order to be mum, good enough to be Bechor Bal Mum, or to be Nif Date, as a Psula Mikdashim. But, we want to know, what does it mean to be Galui? Does Galui mean physically visible? Or does it mean that you can intuit it from the status of the animal? Right now, next Mishnah. Nifgam Hazoven, Now this is unclear what the Zovin is. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zilah notuk shakis chavui bo. And then the amendation by the Besorah Tashaz is shagid shel behema chavui bo. So it's referring to that there is some sort of blemish, cracking, breaking away, part of the Zovin. Generally the Zovin is the male member, but is it the male member? It's in the sack. So the question of whether it's talking about the sack of the testicles, or it's talking about the encasement of the male member. It's not clear here from Rashi which one it is. Oher yashum nekeva, the genitals of the female as well, if they're nivgam, bimugdashim, because it won't apply to a bechor. A bechor is only a male, a zachar. So obviously when you introduce nekeva, you can't be talking about bechor, you have to be talking about other mukdashim like shlamim. Nivgam hazanav, if the tail is somehow missing, it's cracked, it has a catch in it. Mina etzem, if that happens where the bone is, then it's problematic. Avalo mina perek, if it's in between the vertebrae of the tail, the bones of the tail, that's not problematic. O, shirosha zanav mitpatzel, or the end of the tail splits. Rashi says that it means niklafa orba basar. The skin and the flesh have been taken away. Vinishra etzim migbuleh. That the bone is left exposed. Sheu veinim alei arukah. That will not heal anymore. As opposed to before we said if there is nifgam between the chuliot, that will heal itself. When the etzim itself, if there's a gam in the etzim, obviously that doesn't heal. Bones don't regenerate. Skin and flesh regenerate, but bones do not regenerate. So if it's missing from the bone, that's clearly a mum. If it's missing in between the bones, then it's not a problem. Rashi over here says, if all the skin and the basar are missing, the flesh are missing, then it won't regenerate as well. If the etzim is already exposed, that means you're beyond the point of it healing. On the other hand, others believe that the mitpatzela etzim means that the bones split. It literally split. It's not that they have a single bone, but the tailbone has split and is open to two sides. Oh, sheish basar mechulia dechulia melo etzba. If between the vertebrae or the bones of the tail that there's a distance of an etzba between them, then that already is too far apart. If that basar will not heal itself, if it has that much basar in between it. So Amar Rav Elazar nifgam velo nital. That the problem here is if there's a begam in the zoven. Not if it's removed entirely. If it's removed entirely, it'll grow back. That's what he says. If it's nifgam, it will not heal. Kis velo zichut. We're talking about the encasement and not the member. Again, which casement they're, encasement they're talking about depends on what Rashi wrote. It seems to me that we most likely it's the encasement of the testicles, but the way that the Mesorah Tashas amends Rashi, it's hard to understand what he's referring to in terms of the encasement. Tanya Nami Yochai have a bright that it supports Rabbi Lazar's understanding of our Mishnah. Nifgam velo nital. That the problem here is if it was somehow damaged, but not if it was taken entirely. Kis velo zichrut. We're talking about the encasement, not the member. Whether it's inval or ein bal. The Mishnah changes in two words of ein bal. Achad shenat lo ze'ev. We had an animal in which the kis was taken off by a wolf, ate it, grabbed it off, and it grew back. Here's evidence of the fact that if it's taken entirely, it will regenerate, it will rehabilitate, whereas if it has a gum in it, if it has some sort of damage done to it, that will not rehabilitate, that will not heal itself, and therefore it will be considered or classified as a mum. Right now, we have a little sidebar here, which is interesting, a little excitement for Allah al-Maisa over here, which is, what is this etzba that we're talking about in the Mishnah? Tani. Etzba shamru echad mi arba betefach. The etzba that we're talking about in the Mishnah is an etzba of one of four in a tefach. Shokol adam, of all people. Now, Rashi points out to us that there are different ways of measuring a tefach. Tefach is your hand. But your hand is comprised of different etzbaot, of different fingers. You have your thumb, which is the biggest. You have the pinky, the small finger, which is the smallest. And the other three fingers, the Gemara assumes, are about the same size. So you have here three sizes of fingers. When I tell you that there are etzba'ot that make up your tefach, that make up your fist, what etzba'ot am I speaking about? So the Gemara says that the four etzba'ot that we're talking about here, when we're talking about an etzba here, we're talking one of four. One of four means that measured by your thumb. Four thumbs make up a tefach. Six pinkies make up a tefach. Five of your middle fingers make up a tefach. So how many etzba'ot there are in a tefach depends on which etzba you are using. If you're using your thumb, it's four etzba'ot. If you're using your pinky, your small finger, it is 6. If you use your middle fingers, it's 5 of those middle fingers that comprise a tefach. So what the Gemara is saying over here, it's echad mi arba. When our Mishnah says etzpa, it's referring to a tefach that was measured by 4 thumbs. So it's 1 thumb's width. Marga says, my hilchato. Why do you need to know this? So amar rabba, l'inyan techelet. Need to know it for techelet, for tzitzit. Titanya, kama chutim hiu notain. How many strings do you put in to make your tzitzit? Beit Shammai omrim arba'a. Beit Shammai says 4. Beit Hillel omrim shlosha. Says 3. So we paskin like Beit Shammai. The problem is, and Tosfot raises this issue here, he raised it in Menachot as well, is what is Beit Shammai saying? What does it mean that Beit Shammai says that you are required to put in 4 strings? Now, there are different possibilities. Does he mean 4 strings that when they are doubled, they'll comprise 8 strings? That's one possibility. Or is he saying that they are 2 strings that are placed in that when they are folded over, they will result in 4 strings? Which of those is Beit Shammai saying? Now, the nafkamina will be significant. Anything, what's the big deal? We know that it's 4 strings in that makes up 8. The big difference is, what are they speaking about? Beit Shammai is obviously speaking in our day, after the loss of Techelet, that you have to place in the strings. The strings that we have in our Begadim, what do they represent? Do they represent both the Levan and the Techelet? Or do they simply represent the Levan? That's what he says here, 4 strings. Is it, Beit Shammai says, 4 white strings, Shein Shmona, that are 8. Meaning that they're talking about here 4 strings that make up 8, and these are all the Levan. We don't deal with the Techelet at all. The Techelet is irrelevant over here, because there is no Techelet. So we put in 4 white strings, but they all represent the white strings. On the other hand, you could say that the 4 here means really 2 strings that are 4, and that's only referring to the Levan side of it. Techelet, we don't have Techelet, so we put in another 2 strings of white to make up for the Techelet. But what Beit Shammai is addressing over here is only those 2 strings and the 4 that refer to the Levan. The reason is, in the Nafkamino Tar, that there's a difference between Levan and Techelet. The Gemara in Menachot mentioned the Igardum Techelet. If the string of Techelet got cut back, it was shortened, meaning that it snapped off, that Gardumim are Ksherim. But Gardumim, according to Tosafot, reading that Gemara, because it says Gardumei Techelet, that's what the Gemara says, it says Gardumei Techelet, so Tosafot reads that it's only referring to Techelet. Only the strings that represent Techelet can have Igardumim. So if you think that Beit Shammai believes that all 4 strings are all about the Levan, nothing to the Techelet, that means if one of your strings snapped, the Tzitzit are Psulim. On the other hand, if you believe that the strings, 2 of them represent Techelet and 2 of them represent Levan, then you can have Gardumim. One of the strings that snapped could be the Techelet, the ones that represent the Techelet, and their Gardumim, shortened strings, are still Kasher. So that's a big nafkamina. Now Tosafot points out, he does this here, it's also in the Sifrei, the Beit Hillel says Shlosha. 3 strings. Of those 2 possibilities, you can only read it one way. You can't say that 3 is the result of the strings being folded. You have to say 3 is the number of strings that were entered over here. Because you can't have an odd number be the resultant number of strings that are folded. It has to be an even number. So the fact that Beit Hillel says 3 means that there were 3 strings put in that result in 6. So if that's the case, if you read Beit Shammai in the parallel, it would say that it's 4 strings entered that result in 8. So it says, I'm not bound by that. Maybe that's Beit Hillel, but he says it is a little bit problematic in my explanation that we're talking about here, 4 strings, which is the result of putting in 2 strings. He says that means that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are not talking in parallel. One's talking about the number of strings entered, that's Beit Hillel. One of them's talking about the resultant number of strings after you folded them over, which is Beit Shammai. Tosafot is willing to live with that, but it is a difficulty if you do explain it that way. Next is, V'kama tehei mishuleshet. Now here there are 2 interpretations of what mishuleshet means over here. I'll come back to it in a second. Beit Shammai omrim arba, Beit Hillel omrim shalosh. What is this mishuleshet? Rashi says, it's the distance you must place the tzitzit away from the knaf, from the corner. We know that we don't place our tzitzit directly on the corner. We move them away from the corner. How much do you move them away from the corner? So Rashi says, that's the machloket here. Beit Shammai omrim arba, and Beit Hillel omrim shalosh. It's interesting here that the Bach changes it to shalosh. Shalosh meaning the nekeva. Etzba is a nekeva. But he doesn't amend the arba to read that it is arba. So I don't know if he believes that Beit Shammai omrim arba'at fachim, and Beit Hillel saying shalosh etzbaot, or he should have amended the arba as well to read arba, which would be 4 etzbaot, and that Beit Hillel mim shalosh etzbaot. They're arguing about how far away from the edge it must be, 4 etzbaot or 3 etzbaot. That would be the machloket over here. V'shalosh, Beit Hillel omrim, the 3 that Beit Hillel says, echad mi arba betefach. When you ask me how many etzbaot, 3 etzbaot that are measured by your thumb. That's the nafkamina here that we're talking about, that the etzba is 1 out of 4 of the thumb. Now, Rashi brings a second interpretation. Tosfot rejects Rashi completely over here because he says that three is the maximum it can be away from the corner. It's not the minimum, but the maximum it can be away. That the Gemara's measurement of how far away from the Beged is telling you how far it can be away to still be considered the Kanaf. It's not talking about you the minimum, it's telling you the maximum it can be away from the side of the Beged. So that can't be what we're speaking about over here. But rather, Tosfot says, as Svi was mentioning, that it's talking about the Anaf and the Gedil. It's talking about the Anaf is the free-floating strings in your tzitzit. The Gedil is the knotted part of the tzitzit. The Gemara in Menachot says that the Hidur is to have the Anaf be twice the size of the Gedil. Two times the size of the Gedil. So whatever the Gedil is, you want to multiply that by two to get your size of the Anaf. And that's what's being discussed over here. How big should the Gedil be over here? Tosfot says it's talking about the Gedil here. They're arguing about Hakama Umishleshet. What is the one-third that comprises the length of the tzitzit? Your knotted part's going to be one-third. The Anaf is going to be two-thirds. That's how it's two times the amount. The free strings are times the amount of the knotted part. How much is the knotted part? The knotted part is either three etzvot or four etzvot. That means that if you want to have a mehudar tzitzit, you're going to have, according to Beit Shammai, four etzvot of knots, and then eight etzvot of free-floating strings, 12 etzvot in total. Rashi says that the Mishuleshet is referring to, what's the size of the Anaf? The size of the Anaf, according to Rashi, is four etzvot. That means that the Gedil will be two. Six in total. Or Beit Hillel, three, and then one and a half, so it'll be four and a half in total. The way Rashi explains it in Menachot, his reference here to three and four etzvot is talking about the free-floating strings. According to Tosfot, it's referring to the Gedil. So according to Tosfot, you'll end up with a tzitzit that are twice the length of Rashi's length of tzitzit. On that, we said again that the shalosh etzvot, Beit Hillel omrim, echad me'arba betefach. The etzvot that we're using over here are the arba betefach, one out of four in a tefach, shokol adam. What do we need to know about the etzvot for? That's referring to the two amot in the Migdash, the Tanan. Shtei amot. There were two amot in the Migdash measurements. These are the Bureau of Measurements and Statistics. They had a special two measurements in the Migdash. You could test out what is an ama. There were two amot above the doorway of Shushan HaBira, which is the eastern entrance into Har HaBayit. Achat al keren mizrachit tzvonit. One on the northeastern side of the entrance, Ve'achad al-keren mizrachit dromit, and one on the southeastern side of the entrance. Shal-keren mizrachit tzvonit, hayita yiterel shemoshe. The one on the northeastern side was greater than Moshe's ama, by chatzi etzba, half etzba bigger. Shal-keren mizrachit dromit, the one on the southeastern side, hayita yiterel chatzi etzba, was another half etzba bigger than the first one, meaning one etzba greater, it's mit, yiterel Moshe Moshe etzba, it's one etzba greater than the ama of Moshe. V'lama havu, Achat gedola v'achat ketana. What are these all about? Why do you have these measurements that are bigger than that of Moshe? Why do you need this? Kshayum nimnot leim biktana. Magzirim bigdola. Sheyo yavo lidei mi'ila. The umnim, when they used to take what they had to work for the Mikdash, they used to take the Mikdash and say, you can take based on the amav Moshe. We're gonna pay you based on the amav Moshe, but you're gonna have to return us work that has an ama, that has an extra chatzi etzma in it. Why do they do that? Shelo yavo lidei mi'ila. So there won't be no mi'ila. Be sure that they're doing more than that's expected of them, and they're not there's no excess of hekdesh left over. They used to return an ama plus to the mikdash based on a work order for an ama. So tartei lamali, what do I need too? Chada de kasva v'zava. When we talk about expensive materials, finer materials, then it only has to be an excess by chatzi etzba. We're talking about chadar binyono. We're talking about coarser materials. We're talking about the building itself, cheaper materials. Then they have to return an etzba over the ama, not just the chatzi etzba over. That etzba that we're talking about over here, when we said echad me'arba, the etzba oat that we're talking about here, we're talking about a thumb. It's one out of the four etzba oat that make up a tefach. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, this is why this is over here, v'item Rav Huna bar Natan, v'oto sheshanino. This is referencing our Mishnah. Sheish basar ben chulia l'chulia melo etzba. That it has the flesh between the etzbaot, the bones of the animal, is so thick that it makes up an etzba that will not heal, that will not cure itself. What is that referring to? An etzba, that etzba is a thumb. One out of four etzbaot, one out of four tfachim. So that is the etzba that we're referring to. That's why this Gemara is found here. Because one of the opinions about what this statement of the Gemara is, that when we're talking about an etzba, we're referring to the four etzbaot that make up a tefach, that means four thumbs that make up a tefach, and one etzba, we're referring to a thumb's width. Where can you apply that? We have three different places to apply that. One is by tzitzit, one is by the measurements of Shushan Abira, and the last one was our Mishnah. And that's why it's relevant to over here, that's why it's bound over here. Okay, we'll stop here.